Today is session 15 of the Identify Your Ideal Career Path Coaching Group. Today is June 18th, and so far we have Paul, Angie, Kelly, Alexandra, and I heard another beep.
That would be Michael.
Michael, welcome.
LaToya.
And LaToya, too. Yay, ooh, almost a full house today. It was quiet last week, so I like that. Okay, and so today is, let me just say this too, is session 15. We're going to be talking about compensation today, salary benefits, and your ideal job and ideal world. Also talk about narrowing down your career ideas and how you guys can really do that, because you need to start doing that. And we're going to talk about ideas on action steps to take for that. And if we get to it, we'll talk about empowering and disempowering beliefs, but we'll see if we have time for that. If not, we'll move it to next week. All right. So Stacy is the only one that we're missing, right? Stacy, you're not here yet, are you? Okay. All right. So Paul has something interesting to tell us about. Now, Paul, do you feel like you can bottom line what happened in your interview and what you learned from it, so that we can all learn from it as well?
I can try.
Okay,
this is my, I guess, my third interview with them. Bank of America.
In Michigan, and, right?
This is for a position in Michigan, and my interview was in downtown Atlanta. And it was what they call a role play interview. And it was, they give you a synopsis of the situation, and in this case, you had an employee who was not meeting performance standards. And they gave you all these facts and details for the role play. And they kind of threw me a curveball in the middle of it. Basically, the role that they said, that the premise or the fundamentals of what they had set forth as what this person's role was, in the middle of the call, they just miraculously changed what that person's role was.
Nice.
So they were, instead of being a personal banker, they were actually a telemarketer. So it completely changed the whole fundamentals or the whole premise of the conversation.
And now, Paul, were you the employer dealing with this tough employee or the other way?
I was the manager in charge of documenting their performance and addressing their performance issues, so to speak. But in the middle of it, it was like, well, you know, they're not who you think you are, who you think they are.
That is so weird.
It was, yeah, it was really, and when I got done with it, I was like, well, maybe they're not reading the same, the same information I'm reading. It was very strange.
It could have been. Maybe they weren't totally prepared or something.
I don't know. It was truly one of the most. I've had a lot of interviews in my life, and this was definitely took the cake.
Oh my goodness! Well, in role play interviews, I think are tough too,
yes.
I mean, you are really on the spot.
Well, it was really funny because they were like, you in the write up, it was like you are required to cover A, B, and C. And so when I set the agenda for the role play, I said right up front, these are the things that we're going to cover A, B, and C, based on your performance in this role. And then we get halfway through the call, and they're like, oh, by the way, I'm not this. I'm, you know, something else.
And you're like, okay, people, what's going on? That's weird.
It was very strange. And I don't know if they were just trying to test your ability to think on the spot or, I don't know, it was interesting.
Or if they screwed up.
So the lesson is, if you want to bottom line it, that if it's a role play, don't assume that the role that they give you is necessarily the role that you're, you know.
What you were given in the first place.
Correct.
Okay, so that is a very weird situation, and I'm hoping that won't happen to most of us here, that at least they'll stick to the same role. What else besides that, like, so being in that kind of interview, which is tough, what else did you learn from it? I mean, was it important to think on your feet? Was it important to, you know, really think about your skills in advance? I mean, what would you say is a lesson for everybody?
Well, if I look back on it, what I did, they gave me 45 minutes to read the material, and there was about 10 to 12 pages. What I did is I just wrote out an outline of what my agenda was.
Okay.
And I started the meeting with, this is what my agenda is. And then when I finished the meeting, I said, this is what I've covered. So I felt like I covered all of my bases.
Okay. Somebody's having an emergency in their area. Okay, so it's passed. Okay, so getting prepared at the beginning, I mean, as much as you can. Setting an agenda, that's the next thing you said, right?
Correct.
And I think spelling it out like that is good, too. So these are general good tips for any interview. Obviously, you want to be prepared. And one of the things that I always tell people, it's kind of like what you're saying, Paul, or to piggyback on the idea of you setting an agenda, is I think people tend to assume that the interviewer has all the power in terms of, you know, what information they're going to get from you. But when they ask you questions, I mean, you can answer them in almost any way that you want to and kind of spin it towards, you know, what you want to get across in terms of your skills and experience. And so I always tell people, too, like, even if it's not this same type of scenario that Paul had where there's an agenda, you know, to talk to an employee, so to speak, that have your top 5 points that you want to get across in the interview so that is kind of your agenda, and make sure that you get those in when they're asking you for examples of when you dealt with an angry customer, or, you know, examples of something else, or, you know, strengths and weaknesses, those kinds of things. But you make sure you get those across. All right, Paul, so anything besides that and that Bank of America is kind of strange?
No, I remember when I had finished it, I felt like they had really, you know, I had 10 pages of this is what this person's role was.
Wow.
And it was just plastered all over they even had a flow chart with everybody's title. And I'm like, okay, you know, these are the premises that you laid out. I kind of felt like they were trying to be exceptionally clever and tricky just to see what your reaction was.
Oh, that is tough.
Yeah.
Sneaky, sneaky.
It was pretty, yeah. It was dirty pool.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like psychological or something.
It was very strange.
Very strange. So when are they going to let you know?
Next week. Okay. And based on my gut feeling, I don't think that, because my reaction was, you know, I don't care what you say you are, you know, this is what you are, and I've got, you know, this is the, so I don't want to say I acknowledged it, but I didn't, I just continued with my agenda.
Oh, you're hilarious. That's great.
Well, it's because I was like, you know, an employee can, you know, they can say that they're Ronald McDonald. You know, you can say whatever you want to say, but according to the premises of the agenda and what was in the written material and what
mm-hmm.
the whole conversation was about, and what the performance standards were that they had given,
right?
It's like, I'm just going to continue along with my agenda. And then it turns out that at the end they were like, no, they really were a telemarketer. And I'm like, okay.
you know, I wonder if they were checking to see if you'd call them out on it, you know, and say, well, wait, you know, like to say, well, what's going on? You said one thing and then it switched. What's up with that? You know, I wonder if that was part of the deal, too.
And it was very strange.
Very strange. All right, well, thank you for sharing. And I don't know if I can say I hope you get the job or not, because it just sounds a little intense to me.
It was, yeah.
Thanks for sharing. Anybody have any questions or comments for Paul? Okay. Interviews can be weird sometimes like that, and you just have to go with, I mean, this is where you do really have to think on your feet. We're going to talk about interviewing more in our next call next month. But one of the things I have found is that you cannot prepare for every single question. You don't know what they're going to ask you. And so the best thing you can do, I find, is to really sit down and think about who you are as a person. What are your strengths and weaknesses? What are your values? You know, the stuff that we have talked about in the career model, what's your past experiences and skills that are relevant? Because then it's kind of like you've got that foundation of all of the answers can come out of those things, you know, and it's always really good to think of examples for work examples for situations, you know, good and bad, obviously. But it's a lot of it is a process of really thinking kind of self-analysis here and really getting to know yourself again or being fully aware of what you bring to the table. And that's how you can be prepared for most of the questions. That's what I find.
Hallie, if I could just say one more quick thing. It really, keying off of what you just said, it really made me think, do I really want to work here? Just, it really made me question. I mean, if you go through that scenario that I just described, it makes you really think, gosh, is this really a place that I, you know, really want to go through this every day?
Yeah, right. Are they going to bait and switch?
Right.
Every week.
Yes.
Well, and that's great because you guys have to remember that you're part of why you go on an interview is interviewing them too. It's not just because you've been offered this job or even are on an interview that it's going to be a fit for you. So you really have to think about that and think about it critically. So that's good. I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, where in Michigan is the job located?
There's actually two openings. One is in Livonia and the other one is in Novi, which is north of Detroit.
So, yeah, you have to really give yourself credit for getting an interview in Michigan right now because it's very, very difficult to do. So that also says something about who you are as a candidate, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, it definitely does. Thanks, Kelly. Because doesn't Michigan has the highest unemployment rate right now, right?
Officially, it's 14.1%, but I really think it's around 20 or 25%.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, jeez.
I know. I saw it on the news the other day, and I think, yeah, that's what I saw. It was like 14 or something. It was the highest state with the unemployment rate. I can't imagine. So kudos to you, Paul. That resume must be working for you.
Yes.
And other things, too, I'm sure. But all right, good. Thanks for sharing. Any other successes or learnings that people want to share? And I guess, Paul, that would qualify as a challenge, but let's go to successes or learnings. Anybody? Aha moment, something they did that was helpful, useful? Going once. Going twice.
I start my classes for the GRE tomorrow.
That's exciting.
That's kind of a success right there.
Cool. And Alexandra, what programs are you thinking of applying for?
Public health, I think.
Yes.
I think I'm just going to go for a lot of stuff. Social work, public health, stuff like that.
Okay, but in that realm.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Congratulations. Is it online?
No, it's an actual class.
Cool, very cool. Good for you.
At Georgia State. So, it's like a physical step towards what I want to do, you know?
Yeah, and you've got to have those tangible action steps that you're taking. Otherwise, you feel like it's just all in your head and you haven't moved forward.
Right.
Very cool. Congratulations. That's cool. Michael, We were teasing you last call where you were over the weekend and how it was quote unquote networking.
Yeah.
At the music festival. How much networking did you really get done?
Well, I got 1 degree away from Jimmy Buffett.
That's always good.
I met the guy that who he found. Like, Buffett came and played on Saturday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
but he was trying to get a new artist out there, and I met the new artist just for a brief moment. But other than that, I got a lot of good ideas. My volunteer work was either with One session was with just making sure that the handicapped had their seating and all that. Then my first session was at the toll booths when everybody was coming in, so not necessarily behind the scenes. But getting there a couple of days before the festival actually began,
mm-hmm.
you saw all the back, you know, you saw all the back.
Inner working.
Yeah.
And how, is that, did you do this because of your entertainment venue idea?
Yeah, I was just trying to get a little bit of it, you know, getting some ideas in my head of how to run one.
Cool.
You know, not to that scale, but, you know, finding new talent. Because there was the count of how many bands that were performing in a four-day span were like 150.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a way to, like, if I go in that industry, you know, go to a couple of these different festivals and check out, see what kind of music, you know, is out there. Because I heard a lot of good music from a lot of different genres.
Cool. And plus you got to have fun. That's awesome. So you did do some career work. I'm impressed.
I was, and I got to talk to a couple of the volunteers, you know, just talking up the idea and all that kind of good stuff. But
okay, good.
It was a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, we were harassing you last time because I told, I forget who was on the call last time, but it was a small group, that that's where you went, and they were like, oh, networking? Are you kidding?
Yeah. Well, the one thing about it was that all the volunteers there,
yeah,
it was a way to actually really do expand your network because all the volunteers basically, or at least around my camping area, basically came by themselves, hopped airplanes by themselves, and just, you know, came just to meet other folks and just to volunteer.
Wow.
So it was, because we had people around our tents from Canada, New Jersey, New Hampshire, Texas, and Denmark.
Wow.
So it was a way to, people hear all this hoopla, which, you know, is 50% true about, you know, Bonnaroo, but, you know, if you get another side of it from the volunteers, you're meeting so many new people that might have networks elsewhere.
Yeah, that's good. Good for you. So you need to stay in touch with them, okay?
Yes.
So the key people, I mean, this is the number one mistake I find people do with networking is they might follow up with people once after an event or something, but then they lose their information or drop it or whatever, and they don't keep it consistent. And that's what's really key is staying in consistent touch with people. And it doesn't mean be a stalker, you know, you don't have to reach out to them every week or even every month. But keeping track of this stuff and staying organized and then reaching out to them to let them know, hey, this is where I'm at, you know, really a vital aspect of networking because otherwise you're not nurturing it and it just goes to waste. So very cool, and you got to have fun too. I like it. All right, so I want to talk about that more in just a second, about narrowing down your careers to consider and ways to do that. Let's dive into compensation, though, first, just so we can knock this one out. I think this one tends to be, it's interesting because even though compensation is so, so important, you know, it's one of the biggest pieces of the model you have to consider because you need to pay your bills and make sure that you're taken care of. Usually it's a little bit easier because it's running numbers and, you know, finding out what kind of salary ranges are out there for the careers you're considering. So the first thing that we had talked about for homework last time was the minimum salary you need to live on and knowing what your monthly expenses are. So who here knows what their monthly expenses are? Just give me a yes if you've got a number.
Yes.
Okay,
so I heard Paul, Michael, Stacy, and who else?
Alexandra.
Okay. So Kelly, Angie, and LaToya, you need to work on this?
I have mine.
Oh, you do? Okay, I just didn't hear you. Sorry. LaToya, how about you and Kelly?
My husband knows.
Okay, Kelly. So we need you to go, you need to go get those from him.
All right.
Okay, so Kelly, one of your homework assignments is get just a general sense of monthly expenses, but have a number in mind. How much do you guys need to live? And remember, this is going to be different for everybody's situation. So, like, if you're the breadwinner, it's all of it. If you guys split the bills, it's half. But you need to have a handle on this. LaToya, how about you? LaToya, are you still with us? She might be on mute. Okay, well, if you're on mute, come back and tell us yay or nay here. I did not know this. When a coach asked me, the coach I was working with like 10 years ago, she said, well, how much do you need to live? Like, it was this passing question, and I was like, I have no idea. So I don't want you, the people that don't know or didn't know before this, don't feel bad, because I didn't either. I mean, it was just like I knew I could live and things were fine, but I had no idea. And it's really good to have a better handle on this. You need to know just at least some general figures of what's the minimum, so that when you're going out there and looking for jobs, it's not just about, you know, are you going to be able to pay your bills? Because I know you guys are going to, you know, look at jobs that will enable you to pay your bills. But when you come up with a specific number, you're much more savvy about, and you have a handle on what you need, and it's more likely to happen as a result because you're more focused on it. Okay? And what I like for people to do is have a baseline minimum and then add a little bit of a buffer to it just for, you know, just in case emergency purposes. Okay? LaToya, so if you're still here and you don't have yours, that's one of the things I need you to work on too.
Have it. I know it.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right. So, Kelly, you got to get it from your hubby. Okay. Any questions on, you know, identifying your minimum salary and knowing what that is? I think it's pretty straightforward. Okay. The other thing that helps you know this is you need to go into, when you go into a job interview or you are applying for a job, you need to know what your breaking point is, like what your salary range is, what your ideal is. But you also need to know how low you can go before you need to stop and you have to walk away. So that's part of why you need to know this baseline minimum, is because if they, you know, if you guys are negotiating and they counteroffer with something, you know when you need to walk away. Okay? So with the careers that you guys are considering, let's just go around the room here. Are the salary ranges that you have found so far, are they within what you need to live on and what you're looking for? So, Paul, how about you?
By and large, I would say yes. The professors at most universities are making within the range that I'd be looking for. Police detective / private investigator, it seems like that's all over the board. I can't really get a definitive number as to what they actually make, and it depends on the type of investigating that they're doing.
And where they live, probably,
and where
too.
They live.
Yeah.
Where they live.
Yeah.
And that is more of a, almost like an independent contractor type of a position.
Right.
As a private investigator, police detective probably doesn't make what I need to make.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so you're getting a sense of, on your list here, the different salary ranges, and so far professor sounds like it's pretty good, and police detective, you need to find out more about it. Is that right?
Police detective, I'm fairly certain wouldn't pay me what I would need to make.
Are you going to take it off the list?
Well, I guess, but my my question on that is, do you make a is money a higher priority than work satisfaction?
That's what you need to think about. So it depends on your values. And so, like, if you asked me, I would say it needs to be a blend of both for me. And know that I wouldn't choose something that would be unfulfilling just because I would make a lot of money. So I guess when pressed, I would go for the quality of life first. So this is the kind of stuff you have to think about. And I think most people would say quality of life first. But I have had, I talked to a guy once, and I've heard a few people say this to me. I'm making my money right now for these few years. You know, he was a lawyer in New York, I think. And he didn't care about his quality of life at that point because he was making so much money, he was going to sock it all away and then go do what he wanted after. So there are situations when the fulfillment comes lower, and it's all a very personal decision. So I kind of threw it back at you, Paul. Are you okay with all that?
Yes. Yep.
So it's really, and obviously, I mean, it's there's a make or break point where if your family can't eat, then no, you know. Like, then the money has to come first, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of a sliding scale, too. You know, you've got to make sure, like, is it really quality of life or is it putting food on the table? And that's really different, too. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm glad that you've started to look into this, though. So I think what you need to do, one of the things, is find out more about this private investigator and see what, you know, the ranges are there. Try to get a better handle on it, especially in Michigan where you're looking to go.
Okay,
so LaToya, how about you, salary ranges?
The salary range starting out would be more than what is needed to meet my monthly expenses. But I consider compensating that by having a job, doing something else
on the side
while I'm working on, you know, my ideal career, because my ideal career, the pay scale goes up the harder that I work and the more that I get myself out into the environment and show that I have knowledge in the area.
Okay, gotcha. So the freelance writing and image consulting, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So for you, it's kind of like getting out there, being an entrepreneur, growing your business over time is when the income will come up.
Yes.
So starting out, like, on the side is perfect way to go. Very cool. Okay, good. All right, Michael, how about you?
I know the salary range that I'm looking for.
Okay.
But the careers considered, it seems like, you know, I don't know if some of them are base pay or 100% commission or, you know, things of that nature. And I can't do 100% commission right now.
Yeah, that's hard. Okay, so you need to do a little bit of investigating.
Yeah.
And you might need to ask Paul for some help with that because he's thinking about being an investigator. So you need
what I'm basically fixing to start doing is going on and practice interviewing with all kinds of companies.
And seeing what they say so you can get a flavor of it.
Yeah, and see what I can get a flavor with, you know, everything that's out there.
Okay. All right, good. So do that. And if there's any way to get information online, that would be good too, you know, just by looking at job boards, job descriptions. This is where those big job boards can come in handy because I find they're really overwhelming, you know, for most people looking on Monster Career Builder. It's like, ugh. But it can come in handy to do some kind of general research on different industries and positions.
Yeah, and I was reading my book, What Color Is Your Parachute Again?
Mm-hmm.
And I just got through the, like, salary portion chapter, and it gave a lot of websites for research and salaries.
What do you remember any other one, you know what, besides salary.com?
There is one called salaryexpert.com.
Ooh, Salary Expert, okay.
And then there is one, it looks like it's the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is BLS.gov.
Yeah.
Backslash OCO.
Yeah. That's on my website under my resources page, guys, so if you need that later, just know that it's there, because that's really good, too.
And then another one, jobstar.org.
Cool. Okay, groovy. Thanks, Michael. All right, so any questions or comments for Paul, LaToya, or Michael? Thoughts, suggestions? Okay. Stacy, how about you?
Well, I'm really hoping to get a pay increase with whatever my next career move is. I
honestly don't make a lot of money currently, so I haven't really worried about compensation too much because I already don't make a lot of money, so wherever I go next, I don't think my compensation can be all that much worse.
It can't go down, so, right?
Well, it can't go down. It can always go down.
Right.
I mean, I have had some raises at my current company, but I'm still not where a 28-year-old should be.
I understand that feeling.
What's that?
I said, I understand that feeling.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm not really worried about the compensation because I only feel quite hopeful that it can go up.
Okay. So as you're narrowing down your ideas, just make sure that at least that there's within marketing communications, you know, in international marketing, like you've talked about, what not only, you know, is the salary good enough, which it probably will be, but what positions are going to pay what you need, plus what you're going to be qualified for also. Okay. So that's good. I think that's good. Angie, how about you? Because we're talking about government with you.
Yeah, like Stacy, I'm hoping that the next move brings a compensation increase, and the government jobs that I've been looking at that sector, there are possibilities within that, and I had considered nutritionist before, and that's one that I've taken off my list because I don't feel like it would meet my salary needs, and I'm just going to pursue the health portion of the hobby until, you know, I find something that, one, meets my salary needs and, you know, my interests.
Okay, cool. So, Angie, that's great because, Paul, this kind of goes back to what you were saying before. In Angie's situation, she's taken it off the list and is okay with pursuing it on the side as a hobby. And, see, that's just a personal decision. And then, like, you're saying, Angie, you might come back to it later and find a career path within it, but right now it sounds like you're really comfortable with that, and that's okay for the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So that's good. I'm glad you brought that up because, see, it's very individual, you know, and depending on your life situation, you know, if you're married or not or have kids and all that, I mean, so many factors play into the salary thing that it's really very personal how high on your list of priorities that you put that. All right, good, Angie, thanks. Kelly, how about you?
I want to make more money.
That has been one of your main things from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm a little frustrated, and I think it's hard for me to separate out what part of my current income right now is because of the downturn in the economy, because I don't receive a salary. I receive like a cut of, you know, how many clients I see, and we're really down in terms of that. And what part of it is just the career that I picked? It's really hard for me to sort that out because the economy's been bad ever since I've been in this position.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure all of that out.
So what do you need to do?
I don't know.
Okay, so let's help Kelly, guys. So based on what she just said, what would you guys suggest?
This is Angie. I guess one of the first things that comes to mind is there an industry organization or other professionals that you can brainstorm with if there are other places within the industry that are more lucrative for you?
That's a good question. I think there are more lucrative things that I could do would be to join a hospital, but all the hospitals are on hiring freezes. So I don't know if I should just kind of like wait out the storm and do what I'm doing now because I am making enough to get by right now, but it's not as much as I would like to be making. So, you know, part of me feels guilty about being in a position where I have a job and I'm complaining about the fact that it's not enough as I would like it to be.
Gremlin.
I know.
Where's my gremlin person? Stacy, you're the gremlin catcher.
I know, but I actually say the same thing. So,
they're
together. I work in advertising. I'm lucky to have a career right now.
So every time I complain about my job, you know, my dad will be like, just be lucky you're employed, you know, so.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. Okay, so listen.
It's true, like, I don't want to, during this time, I don't want to be ungrateful for not being employed, but I still think our desires are still worthwhile.
Yeah, and they can, so both of these can live together, that you guys can still be grateful that you have a job, but also want more. So it doesn't have to be either or. Just because you're complaining doesn't mean that you're not grateful, and it doesn't mean that you don't want to, you know, strive for the next thing, too. So
yeah, I mean, I think it's a great position to be employed while you're looking for a new job. I mean, it would be much worse and much more stressful to be unemployed looking for a job.
It is. It's a huge difference. It's a big difference. All right, so Kelly, one of the things I heard from what Angie said was talking to more people, like getting out there a little bit and finding out more about these other jobs. In addition to finding out how much they pay. And it's true that you may have to wait out the storm a little bit, but the point is that you don't give up on it completely.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. All right, so Alexandra, how about you?
As far as salary?
Yeah. Is it, you know, is what you're looking at in the range of what you'd want and need?
Oh, yeah. Well, pretty much everything I'm looking at is above the poverty line, which I think I'm at right now. So,
okay.
Like Stacy, all I can go is up. You know, I mean, I'm surviving off of what I'm waitressing on. So I think if I get an actual job,
it'll be like a gold mine.
I know, right?
Okay.
I will comment at Alexandria. I mean, I have a friend that just got a master's in social work, and when I even invested in social work, I was just appalled at, like, the salaries that they give people in social work. And, I mean, she lives in D.C., and there's no way she could survive where she's living without her boyfriend's financial help. So,
I mean,
you might just be staying at that poverty line if that's okay with you if you stay in the social work world.
Yeah, I always knew that I wouldn't be making a lot of money, so kind of. I just don't buy a lot of things.
Well, and
I'm cool with that. I'm going to go live in a hut in Africa. It's all good.
And again, it comes down to personal choice and what you want. But do have a handle on it. Like, this is the more serious point I want to make, is do have a handle on it so that you do know and don't end up, okay, well, the hut in Africa was cool for a while, but now I want something else, and then you're stuck. You know, because of education that you got or whatever it is. So you see what I'm, the point is, I think, yes, there's only, you can only go up, which is great, but also research this and know what kind of salary ranges are out there so you know what to expect, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Yeah, I'm sure you weren't saying that, but I wanted to just point it out just in case.
I plan to make a little bit more money in my lifetime, you know.
Okay.
I don't want to go into debt or anything.
Okay,
but,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, so do this poking around, you know, find out what social workers get paid in different areas, that kind of thing, because the more information you have, the better. So it's a good time to check this out while we're talking about it. All right.
I can help you with that, too, Alexandra, because I have a master's in social work, and I have lots of different friends in different areas of it, so... Just email me for your questions.
Okay.
Oh, perfect, Kelly. Thank you.
Yep.
That's awesome. All right, so let's talk about benefits. So let's brainstorm what kind of benefits are out there so that we know what we're talking about, because we're talking about more than just health insurance and vacation days. So what are different types of benefits you can get from a job? Let's brainstorm. So we've got
vacation.
Say it again.
Education.
Great. Education. What else?
Flex time.
Flex time.
Sabbatical.
401k matching.
401k matching. Yep. And then I heard, was it Michael?
Yeah, sabbaticals.
Yeah. I have a friend who, Paul, you can get into this gig. My friend works at NYU, and he can take a year sabbatical. And I think do nothing and get paid. Hello.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So sabbaticals, what else?
Expense accounts.
Oh, yeah, that's one I didn't have on my list. So expense accounts.
Profit sharing.
Profit sharing, yep. And part of this 401k matching is finding out how soon you're vested, you know, in your company. So
yes.
How soon can you get that? Because I stayed at a job for like a year and a half longer than I would have otherwise because I was going to be vested.
Yeah, same thing with me. I stayed at the credit union for at least 5 years is my goal.
Yep, 5 years was where it was at the university I worked too. And I didn't like that job, but that played into my decision, and that's why I stayed as long as I did there instead of going to be a coach sooner, because that money was worth it, because they were pretty much matching it. I think it was dollar for dollar almost, so it was worth it. All right, and we've got we've got vacation time, obviously, too, other forms of retirement, and then, like, with Paul thinking about teaching, summer's off, you know, that's kind of flex time, but it's even more so where you've got chunks of time off. All right, so what are you guys thinking? Trying to think of the best way to put this. Say your top two things in terms of benefits that are important to you. What would you guys say? So, Angie, how about you?
Well, I was going to ask, is that assuming that health benefits is a given?
No, because it isn't always a given.
Okay. I would say health benefits and retirement, 401k matching or some type of retirement planning.
Okay, cool, good. Alexandra, how about you?
Health benefits, definitely. 401k matching would be nice. But I think
I'm laughing because you sounded like you picked it off a list. Like, ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, I like that. I'll pick that.
Okay. Kelly, how about you?
I think health insurance and then paid time off would be good.
Nice. Good. Stacy?
Really want to go with three. I'm going to go with health, the vacation, paid time off, and 401k.
Okay. You're allowed to do three. Because it's, Angie, the health, what you were talking about, health insurance, a lot of times that is taken care of. It's just you don't want to take it for granted, especially, you know, when they're hiring you freelance or as a consultant, you know, a lot of times you don't get it. Michael, how about you?
Let's see. I don't go to the doctors that much. Let's go with flex time and I like my time off.
Okay, vacation.
Yeah, throw in a sabbatical there.
Yeah, that would be nice too. You know what, I'm not really... Well,
giving it up.
You what?
I can't believe he wants to give up health insurance.
It's a personal choice. I know, I can't either. Well, and see, here's the thing, is... Like now, and before in my life, I might have, you know, when I was younger and I didn't have a family, but now there's no way.
I got WebMD.
You got WebMD, nice. Are you self-diagnosing?
Then I got all my friends that are doctors.
That's true, okay. So you get some under-the-table care. So this is where it all comes down to, you know, the stage in life that you're at, your priorities, those kinds of things. All right, good, Michael. Okay, LaToya, how about you?
Health insurance and flex time.
Okay. And Paul?
I have no comment.
What do you mean? Why don't you want to comment?
I don't.
Is it personal and you don't want to share, or you just...
Personal.
Oh, okay. Right, so I won't press.
Okay.
One of the things when I was working at the university I worked, vacation has always been really important to me. So here's where I was willing to make less money at the university that I worked because I got more vacation time, not only because I like that, but also at that time in my life, that's when I was starting my coaching business. So I wanted to have that vacation time to be able to work on my coaching practice. So you see how this could change too, based on your life situation. Does this make sense, mm-hmm. guys?
Yeah.
Okay, so like for Michael, he's willing to just use, you know, lean on WebMD for a few years. Versus later on when you're married, if you want to be, or have kids if you want to have them, that's going to be completely different. So it can be very situational too, but it's important to know because this all goes on to, so the things that you guys identified today, put those on your must-have list so that you know, this is where I'm going to compromise, this is where I can't. Helps you clarify things. Okay? All right. So let's talk, we'll have time to do this second piece here, which is good. Narrowing down your ideas, your careers to consider, okay? How do we do this? And by the way, I didn't get, Michael, I need your list of careers to consider, and Alexandra, I need yours too.
Oh, okay.
I got everybody else's, what you're considering right now, okay? So let's talk about this for a minute. So you guys have a few things on your list. How do you start narrowing these down for yourselves? What would you say? And let's just throw out ideas. It doesn't have to be what you're going to do necessarily, but what are ways to narrow down these ideas?
Angie, identify which ones can be done in the short term versus long term.
Good. Somebody, like there's a lawnmower or something in the background there for a second. Okay, Angie, so identify what you can get immediately versus what is going to be more long term. So thinking in terms of your career path, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. So what's more realistic right now, for example, versus what's going to be later down the line because I need more education or more experience or something like that? Good. What else? What else can give you guys the answers to the questions that you need to answer in order to narrow this down? Like, Paul, you gave us a great one earlier about private investigator.
Talking to people in those industries.
Good. So informational interviews. So talking to people in those industries to find out what it's like to work there, what the salary is, those kinds of things. Is that what you're thinking, Michael?
Yes.
Okay, so informational interviews. What else? How else do you narrow this down? Okay, I'm going to give you some hints. The things that, there's kind of two categories here that I suggest you guys do. One category, the first step, would be do this internal work first, the self-reflection. So go through your career model again. So the model that you have and have filled in for this, go through it again. Look at the elements in the model. What are the themes you see across the components there? And review your must-have list as well as your career purpose statement as well. So it's kind of like do an internal check-in first to say, okay, you know, what's my gut instinct on these different career paths? And let me take each one on my list and look again at my career model, my must-have list, and my purpose statement. Does it fit? Do all of these things fit with those things that we've talked about? So internal work first, some self-reflection there. And then do, and this can pretty much actually be simultaneously at the same time, but I suggest next doing the external work of informational interviews, reading the job boards, job descriptions. So, you know, international marketing. I'm sure, Stacy, you've been looking at what are these positions like? What do they entail? What do they require? Mm-hmm. So this is where those big job boards can come in handy, or even industry-specific ones. But just kind of reading the job descriptions and reading a bunch of them can give you a flavor of, okay, this is what's required in those jobs and what it's like. Talking to recruiters is another one who specialize in these fields. recruiters are not always willing to spend time with you. This is the thing about recruiters, that they're usually working on commission and they just want to place people in jobs. But there are times when you can get a really good recruiter who cares about you as a person and the employee and will talk to you. And the company I recommend here in Atlanta is Bell Oaks, because they're very good with that. I need to make a connection over there because my connection at Bell Oaks, she has since left. She actually started coaching with me and she left. but if I can make this other connection, I'll give you guys her name because she would be someone to talk to about these different industries. Really, really helpful. One of the things that you said, Michael, this is one of the things on the list, is going on interviews. I mean, going ahead and applying for some of these jobs and finding out more about them if you get an interview.
Yeah, because I was reading my book, and I was feeling bad that if I went on these, you know, wasting these corporations' time by doing that. But then in my book, it was saying that you should do that.
Yeah.
You know, just to find out what's out there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do that, and as long as it's not something that you would hate, you know, I mean, you don't want to waste your time either, but if it's something that you think you might be interested in, yeah, go for it, because you can find out more. That's a really good firsthand way to find out more.
And I don't think any interview would be wasting your time because you're practicing.
Yeah, the practicing is huge.
What about volunteering
mm-hmm.
for an organization? Because they always need help with marketing or, I mean, basically anything. Event
yep.
planning.
Yeah. So volunteering like Michael did this weekend, it's great. Great way to get a flavor of, do I really like this? Okay. The U.S. Department of Labor, which Michael mentioned before, that's a good one because it's got statistics about different industries, salary ranges, as well as, like, what background is required and where that industry is going. Is it a good, you know, is it an industry that's booming or kind of tapering off? So that website is great. And there's three other things. Any ideas? Anybody want to guess? Okay. Oh, I heard a noise, Michael.
Nothing coming out.
Okay. Books about your industry and your field. So go on Amazon and do a quick search. Careers in international marketing. International marketing. I mean, that's broad, but see what comes up. Internships, which is kind of similar to volunteering. And also associations. So find out where do these people in my city hang out so I can go meet them and talk to them and network a little bit and find out more. And sometimes on websites, on association websites, they'll have, you know, facts and stats about a specific industry or types of jobs. Okay? Any questions?
Can I suggest something? This is Julia. Also, workshops and seminars. I signed up for Vocation Vacation, their newsletter, and it just so happened that they're having a free tele-seminar on fashion, styling, and image consulting, something I'm interested in. So, I mean, that's something that you may want to look into, different organizations signing up for their newsletter, because maybe they'll offer up a workshop or something, or you can also ask questions and
yes.
get a feel of what's going on in that industry or specific field.
Yeah, that's a perfect one. That's good, LaToya, thanks. So, like, for you, Media Bistro is a good one for writers.
Yes.
That's a great website. Cool. Workshops, signing up for newsletters. Vocation Vacation is an interesting website. I haven't looked at it in a while, but it's a very interesting concept. I'll send that to you guys, too, so you can look at that. All right. So what do you – let me just think of – all right. So each of you have specific homework based on what we talked about today in terms of researching salary, you know, those kinds of things. So one of the things for you to do for homework, and we are off for a week, so we're not talking next week but the week after, is to start to narrow down your career ideas. Do the research necessary to start making that happen. So like Paul, finding out salary. Kelly, finding out your minimum salary and then finding out more about your current industry and what's possible in terms of money. Okay? So review your careers to consider. Come up with two things, a plan of action for narrowing your ideas down, whether you're going to say, I'm choosing volunteering and I'm choosing informational interviews or whatever it is, and get started on that plan, at least take 1 to 2 action steps. And so I skipped over something that we had talked about for a minute last time, was reviewing the themes across your model in order to identify careers to consider and narrow down the list. So that's kind of what I was talking about in the external self-reflective work. So when you're looking at your career model, look at what themes and like keywords just keep popping out at you. Health, nutrition, investigation, whatever keeps coming up. Those are the big things that you need to be looking at. Okay, because they're there on there for a reason. All right, any questions? Comments? Suggestions?
I want to just maybe add on something to what Michael was saying about how he's just like applying for a bunch of jobs. You know, I've really been doing a lot of time kind of scouring some job boards, and I found, you know, like, for example, 2 jobs that I was intrigued by, but I didn't think that I was necessarily 100% qualified for it. I mean, I had some facets of things that could maybe be rearranged. I guess I was really talking myself out of how I wasn't qualified for them. And I was talking to my brother about it, and he was like, you should just apply for it. You know, the worst thing you're going to hear is no. So, I mean, maybe that's what I should be doing, but I don't know if this happens to other people too, but as you just keep reading over their qualifications, you just convince yourself that you're not qualified for it, or maybe it's not what I want to do. But now that I think about it, maybe it's more advantageous to just apply and see if they even bite, and then it would just be interesting to go in and just talk to them and see what it's about.
Yep. That's definitely the route I would take. So don't
talk to yourself. Give them the practice of it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even more disheartened than that I won't even get called in for an interview for it. But might as well try, I guess.
Yeah.
So it might just help me try to figure out even more so. I think actually going in these interviews and talking to these actual positions will help me figure out more so what it is I'm actually interested in doing.
Yep.
If I can get to that interview portion.
Yeah, so put yourself out there and try it, because there's no harm in it. You never know what will happen. That's good. Don't let the gremlins get you down, because you never know. And you could
I really just think farther ahead. I'm like, what if I'm good at convincing them that I do have these skills, and then I get the job, and then I really don't know how to do it, and then I don't like the job.
Right. And you've already, you've been there 10 years already.
Yes, I have. I haven't even applied, and I've been there 10 years.
Yeah. So step by step, pull yourself back and don't project that much into the future.
Okay. That should be my homework.
Yeah. Just relax and take it step by step. No projecting. Only projecting good things. Let's say that. Okay? All right. Good luck with your homework. Great talking to you.